Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West.
West.
Episode 45. I am one of your hosts, Nat, and with me, as always, is
Pat.
I'm Cat in Hat.
Yes. Yay. No Alex today. She had finals because, you know, she's 12.
School. School. You have finals when you're 12? She is in advanced classes.
I mean, Colorado schools. Pretty good.
That is true,
pretty,
actually.
Pretty good. Alright, this is going to be a bit of a loosey-goosey episode. We don't know how we're going to run on news today, but we're definitely going to go over some news hits. We're going to discuss the potential casting of Batman that seems like it's a 95% lock at this point. We will pitch what comic property or movie, or excuse me, comic property or superhero property needs a movie / TV show. And we are going to start with the top of the stack, however. Anybody else want to lead off on top of the stack?
I mean, I can go first if everybody else, because I feel like mine's going to be a wah wah.
Wah wah.
So, for my top of the stack, it was Flash number 70. And this is the Flash year one, and Joshua Williamson is our writer, and we've got Howard Porter as art.
Ooh, Howard Porter!
Now, his art's really interesting, too, for Flash. Like, it's not bad, but it's... I don't know, for me, it's not. I'm not used to, his stuff isn't super clean, but I don't dislike it. Cool. I dislike a lot of things that aren't as solid. But anyways, so I was a little disappointed by what I read. I hope the next one is better, because it seems, I thought, like, the whole point of this is, like, the cover points out, like, he's just starting out, and I was thinking, like, first villain, because I know what happened to Flash. Everybody does. I'm pretty sure at this point everyone knows what happened to him. So rehashing that story doesn't make sense to me, but... I was expecting, like, a first villain thing, and I wasn't disappointed necessarily, but I wasn't, like, thrilled with what I was reading either. Okay. So,
it's a very enthusiastic meh.
Pretty much. I was just kind of like, oh, man.
Meh.
Yeah, meh.
Oh, but you will read the second part
as well. I'm curious to see where it goes. I mean, the end part of it ends weirdly, so I'm just kind of like, oh, okay, where are we going? So. All right, whoever's next.
Nice. Yeah, I guess I'll take it from here. I got... My top of the stack was Naomi number 5. I actually got 4 and 5 pretty much the same week just because of shipping errors and stuff. So I was pretty excited after 4 and then 5 came out. And before I get into it, Brian Michael Bendis and David F. Walker
are the writers. Yeah, that's the writers, right?
Yes, and then Jamal Campbell as art.
Sorry.
There you
I jumped the gun, because Jamal Campbell's artwork is
killer. Well, because normally you would just say one writer, and then we go straight to an artist. And
yeah, exactly. This is actually pretty reminiscent of the first issue, just with the splash pages.
Mm-hmm.
We have almost like... four or five complete just double page splashes that are just absolutely gorgeous. I mean,
I'm stunned. He's been the cover artist on Mighty Morphin Power Rangers for a while.
Yeah, why did they not give? I've seen his covers too, and I'm because he's the one I get the variant covers of. And I don't, because it looks, that actually, that's why I recognized it, because it looks so similar to some of the Power Ranger covers.
It's like, how has he not been on a book?
Yeah.
I don't, it's the same thing with Dan Mora, when they're just like, they put him on the cover every time, and I'm like, can he be in the book?
Yeah, just like, it's absolutely
it's
beautiful.
It's so gorgeous.
There's I really want to say like 5 or 6 like double splash page pictures in here that, are absolutely gorgeous. Don't take it from me. Take it from
everybody.
And
I've seen his art.
Dang it. The worst part about this is I get to the end, and it gives me the gosh dang to be concluded ending. I didn't realize this was a miniseries, and right when things are getting good, we finally get Naomi's past. It's tying into all the crises and all the Wonder Comics that are, like, getting into that DC is doing. We get a big bad, too, that's, like, potentially more powerful than Superman.
Oh, that's awesome.
And Naomi too finally gets her sweet superhero origin and power.
An awesome suit.
Her suit is so cool.
That's why I was confused when I saw this too, because it wasn't saying like 1 of 6, but I was pretty positive that's what it was, because she's supposed to join Young Justice.
Is she?
Yeah.
Okay, because I was like, gosh dang
it. She's supposed to join them.
Yeah.
Because I remember the announcement for Young Justice, and they said a mysterious character named Naomi.
Yep.
Yeah. And, yeah, I kind of like how they only gave her, like, her heady in the previews until now.
Yeah.
And then finally with this, we get to see her. It's like a knight, like a suit of armor type thing.
And she's barefoot too, right? Like she's like, and I love that stylistically. It's just a cool thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. And our friend's like,
put some shoes on, man.
Yeah. And our friend's like, but you have shoulder pads. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah. She's like from, it turns out she's from a different Earth, like one of the different Earths.
Ooh.
Where like, and her parents are from there and like, her adopted parents like found her from a rift like during the Rannian War.
Okay, I want to read these two. I need to get on this.
Well, now I'm just curious what that means, what they're going to do with the multiverse then, because if they're pulling that stuff in here, what the hell are they going to do to us?
I don't know. If you've been reading Justice League, I have no idea what they are doing with the multiverse.
I have been reading Justice League, and yeah, I have no idea what they're up to.
I love it, but I have no idea what's
going
on.
You just, like, throw it up in the air, like, I don't know what's happening.
But, you know, I guess if you're talking about a sixth dimension, that totally makes sense for us to not really know what the hell is going on. I guess I'm going to stay in the realm of DC Comics as well and talk about Detective Comics 1003. This is written by Pete Tomasi with art by Brad Walker and Andrew Hennessy is his anchor. This is the continuation of the medieval storyline. So they are talking about the Arkham Knight, and much to my joy, the Arkham Knight is not Jason Todd.
Uh-huh.
And that made me so happy because I would drop the book if it was as Jason Todd.
That's kind of why I said, "Were like, could I spoil it?" No, if it's Jason Todd, though, please tell me because I'm not reading it.
I love what it feels like. Batman the Animated Series, and I think that's always the biggest compliment I can give a Batman book. It feels like it fits into that world. It references the 1966 TV show. It's a nice tight core of Batman, Robin, and Alfred. And
do they have to use shark repellent?
I haven't yet. But I don't see that being out of the realm of possibilities with the story that they're saying. It came up in something Snyder did because Snyder loves all of that nonsense.
I feel like they were in the Batcave. Is that shark repellent?
Yeah, exactly. Brad Walker does this really cool eye theory with the bat suits where it's almost like it's a lens, and so there's always like these reflective reflective lines throughout the way the characters look.
First or second issue, he gets blasted with light and his eyes were freaking me out for a good 10 minutes.
It's really cool. It's like, it's one of those things that just, it looks so different, and Brad Walker is cartooning, and I'm always a fan of that. Like, using the after images, really cartooning people's expressions and going over the top. It gives things such a more... It's so much more readable, and it's just more lively and fun. I love this book. I'm so happy that it's gone in this direction. So, yeah.
Nice.
Thank God we have one Batman comic.
I wasn't going to go there, but you're right. You're totally right.
Shots fired. Pew, pew.
Well, the other part of that is I'm standing over here, and I'm like, I have two Superman books. Yay!
And they're both by Bendis. So you're,
I know. I'm just like walking around like, la-la-la-la.
You're winning.
Yeah, you get two Superman books, and I get zero Naomi books.
But we're going to get...
Justice.
We're going to get Batman Curse of the White Knight here pretty soon.
That's true.
So,
I actually read the excerpt for the new Batman miniseries they do, their 3-issue one. I'm actually going to read it. It looks actually interesting.
Last Night on Earth?
Uh-huh.
Oh, heck yeah. It's the end of Capullo and Snyder's run.
That's right.
How could you not be excited? All right, let's go into some news. I'm going to kind of quick hit a few things unless somebody wants to stop and chat. So, like I said, play this very loosey-goosey. Pat Gleason, speaking of awesome creative teams, he was the artist on Young Justice when it relaunched with Bendis. Unfortunately, he has signed an exclusive contract to Marvel Comics, so he will not be doing Young Justice anymore.
I'm a little sad by that. Hopefully someone doesn't screw up and mess up all my characters.
Yeah, I'm liking Timms as the new artist. He's good. It's just I do miss Gleason already. I like Gleason's style. Tier. Great designs. The new design for Tim Drake, you know. Awesome highlight.
That's great. All the new characters he created too—they're all so on point.
They are
already iconic.
Yeah. Jenny Hex.
Jenny Hex. Just thinking, I want to say, like, I want to say Amethyst first, but Jenny Hex.
Amethyst is really... not, it's an old character, but that's a different
character. Oh, yeah, that's right. I was flipping through some older comics a week ago, and I was like, and Andy, like, pulled it out, just like, what's this? And I was like, oh.
Weird.
That's where she comes from.
Yep. Yeah. Amethyst of Gem World.
And one of the first for Patrick World is I like the design of Teen Lantern.
I do not like her
as a character.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I still think we don't have enough. Wow, Young Justice review here.
Okay.
Speaking of heroes, though, we got our, just so everyone knows.
Wonder Woman Chucks.
Some sweet Woo! Wonder Woman kicks.
That's what we're doing?
For everything today. I figured. I had to mention that. I'm going to buy some Superman ones, too, this week.
All right, moving on. We got Oni and Lion Forge have begun their merger, and it does not seem to be going well. Unfortunately, we don't have full details to go into a deep conversation about this, but...
I don't think anybody has full details.
I don't think anyone does,
them.
Because I think it's just a conglomerate. Yeah. It's not going well.
We have to just keep our fingers crossed that people don't lose their jobs.
They're saying that there's going to be layoffs after this merger.
People have already been laid off.
Yeah.
Speaking of people being laid off, apparently Disney has now full ownership of Hulu that will go through within the next 5 years.
They are in control immediately. Comcast will still hold like 30%, their 30% or whatever, but apparently Comcast is wanting to do their own streaming service in 2020, but I'm like, what rights do you have
Comcast would be with their own streaming service going up against Disney, Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon would be buried in a year. Like, that would not
happen. I was going to say, I'm like, I'll give it 8 months.
Yeah. The only reason people use Comcast anyway is out of necessity.
Yeah, they use Comcast so they can get Netflix, Hulu,
and
Amazon Prime.
They're like, we'll sell your TV too. No, I just want the internet.
I don't need your TV service. I don't need your phone service. Just need your internet.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I wouldn't even need that if they didn't have a non-competition pact with Time Warner.
Yeah.
But that's something else entirely.
another deep cut conversation. We'll stay in the realm of streaming services. It looks like Bob Iger has announced that there's another Star Wars live-action series set for Disney+. Lot of talks about moving Obi-Wan into this, and I would be all over
that.
Can they
have the original Obi-Wan, though?
Ewan McGregor?
Yeah,
well, he's not the original Obi-Wan.
Okay, I'm sorry. My Obi-Wan.
That's
when I was a kid.
If you do a live-action Obi-Wan Kenobi while Ewan McGregor is still alive, it better be Ewan McGregor.
Yeah.
That's
unless he's like a 10-year-old, because he can't play a 10-year-old. But
no.
At the same time,
I don't know. Have you seen the digitally de-aging technology? He might be able to play a 10-year-old.
That's true. And I'm like, but then again, I'm like, if a 10-year-old is Obi-Wan 10-year-old, and then you just have him talking out of his mouth, I would buy it.
Not to mention, if you do the Obi-Wan as a 10-year-old, this could be an amazing series, because it would be about Qui-Gon Jinn.
All I'm saying is, unless it's a Jar Jar Binks solo show, I'm not interested.
Oh, that would be an amazing April Fool's joke. Would be to like
announce. I want to see
Jar Jar.
Honestly, I really
have a whole like 30-second gritty like teaser trailer.
Yeah. And the other portion is I want to know how many people would actually take it seriously, and how many Star Wars paraphernalia things would be on fire.
Oh my god, that would be amazing. I'm just saying,
Disney would have to do a press release to be like, okay, we apologize to everyone. This was just a joke.
Yeah, and they'd have to release it like 30 seconds after right? the trailer.
Yeah, it would in one day the apocalypse happens because they people start flipping tables and like starting can fires outside and shit.
Yeah. I imagine it too, like opening up the same way with the new Star Wars trailer, like Jar Jar like in the desert, and they're like slow fade in and like cut to,
and
it's
like General Tarple's a voiceover. Jar Jar Binks has returned.
Yeah, and you get like the slow pan up like shot like until you get to the ears.
All of Gungan societies and Nyusa.
So speaking of that, I finally saw Endgame and they had the trailer for Star Wars and it had actually interest because she. Andy wouldn't want. She's like, I don't know. I feel overloaded. I don't want to see it. And I'm like, well, I'm gonna go see it. And she's like, why? I'm like, if you watch the trailer, that's why.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to watch the trailer. I'm like, then I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, so she just had to get forced to see it?
She saw it in the movie theater and heard the Palpatine laugh, and she was like, and we, I actually didn't notice it either until we were watching it on a giant-ass screen, but the Death Star appearing, too. Mm-hmm. She was like, oh, well, now I want to see it. I was like, okay, then. Yeah. See ya. That's all. I just needed a minute and a half.
Yeah. It's a great trailer. Staying in the realm of Star Wars, it's official. Benioff and Weiss, the Game of Thrones showrunners, will be helming the next Star Wars movie after Rise of Skywalker. After a three-year gap, there is going to be a three-year hiatus for Star Wars films.
Honestly, I kind of want you to give me five. I'm going to be honest. Maybe four. I'll take four.
Four years?
4 years.
Exactly. I think 3 years is good. 3 years gives us, you know, it's enough to see what the streaming service does. We're going to get another Avatar sequel. I don't know.
I don't care. I care.
Yeah.
No, nobody cares. They're trying to make you care, but no one cares.
I'm excited for Benioff and Weiss, though. I've been a fan of Game of Thrones, and I'm still a fan of what they're doing this season. Yeah, I'll put that on record.
Watching everybody throw a hissy fit is hilarious.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's like divisiveness is something Star Wars is used to, so let's roll right into it.
I think coming from a Game of Thrones perspective here, I think they just have, like, writer's fatigue for Game of Thrones. Like, even, like, whether or not you're, like, without getting into being hot or cold on it, like, you can, they're just kind of, they've been writing it for too long.
Yeah.
And they've been writing it. Tell that they want to.
Well, you also have to think of it too. George R. R. Martin isn't even here in his books where they're at right now.
So well, and there's a lot to discuss
But they've written, like, you know, the past few seasons, even if you don't like this current one, they've completely departed from his books since, like, season four.
Yeah.
And they've done a great job about it. Yeah. And a bunch of other stuff that they've written that's not Game of Thrones is absolutely fantastic. I just found out that they actually wrote a Always Sunny episode.
Oh, nice.
And it's like one of the funniest, it's one of my favorite episodes ever.
Yeah, I think putting them as, even if they don't do a full series of movies, if they are the spearheads for what would be an Old Republic story and have them utilize the fantasy machinations that they've experienced through Game of Thrones and through adapting George R. R. Martin's stuff, and can lay those groundwork, those seeds into warring houses of the Jedi and the Sith, and figuring out, you know, like how the Force works would be a great baseline.
Give me a Sith movie and an Old Republic movie, and then the third movie can be them killing each other. I'd be game.
And the rise of Darth Bane. I would love that.
Darth Bane.
He's the one who creates the Rule of Two. So you have the Jedi being born, the Sith being born, the war that kills most of the Sith, and then
honestly,
he develops
Darth Plagueis?
That's too close. In my opinion, what they need to do is stay away from characters that we know well enough. And Plagueis was Palpatine's master.
See, and that's the thing. I loved his.
Patrick is...
That book is amazing.
He's waving the energy beams and the energy blasts right over his head right now.
Honestly, I love that book. So if they did his character, even though it's close to...
Wow, give me a Darth Plagueis series on Disney Plus. Good five episodes, six episodes of the whole story.
Y'all over here talking about Star Wars lore, and I'm like,
you're
like stormtroopers, like trying to shoot at me.
They're all just missing everywhere.
Ever hit anything with these things?
Yeah, I'm just standing over there as a Jedi, like,
each laser. Yeah, this is totally the Force.
He just like closes his lightsaber and starts eating a sandwich.
Yeah, exactly.
That would actually be a great scene in a Star Wars movie.
Force pull a sandwich over.
Hold it like close enough to the mist so it's like slowly the bread gets like lightly toasted each shot. Like, okay.
Yeah, or like I'm using it to cut the crust off.
Either that, or you make the sandwich and you were trying to make a grilled cheese and just kind of start using your own lightsaber to heat it because they're not even getting close to the
sandwich. Oh, man.
Okay, wow. We are definitely in a weird place today. We're going to move on to Jonathan Hickman's got his two new X-Men titles, House of X and Power of X, and Marvel has confirmed that he killed X-Men Red, so we don't care. No.
He did it. He was the one the maid with the candlestick in the ballroom.
It was Hickman all along. No, I'm excited for these two series, but because we're finding out that as of like last year, the pieces started to come together, and that's why they started to cancel the X-Men titles, because he's basically starting from scratch with.
Yeah, because they're pulling in. He's got the character designs for him. It looks like they're pulling him from
all over history.
All yeah, and so, that's the and for me, I don't know X-Men history, so that'll be a doozy.
Yeah, I'm interested. I'm definitely like I said, I'm still upset about X-Men Red going away.
The one with the. Is that Xavier on the front with the ball on his head?
I think so, with Cerebro.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it is
that's
Xavier.
The one that I want to read, because that's the one that I'm interested in, because I saw...
That's House of X.
Because I saw, what was it, Jean, and that was like 70s Jean.
Yep, with the Marvel Girl with the gold mask on, so... I don't know. If they can do Jean Grey correctly, I think I'll be fine, because that was the big thing about X-Men Red, is it felt like it was a really great version of Jean.
Mm-hmm.
So,
because that was when she released the Phoenix.
Yeah, when she was able to separate herself from the Phoenix Force, so hopefully that's a thing. Alright, we've got a couple of TV news here. Crisis on Infinite Earths, the DC-CW crossover event, will be starting in December, going into January with all five of the six shows.
I know. Everyone keeps saying all of the CW shows, and I'm just like, but not Black Lightning.
Yep. Black Lightning still stands on its own.
He's got too many problems in his own neighborhood.
Pretty sure right. Keep him separate. I'm curious if Crisis on Infinite Earths will affect him, and that'll tell us whether or not he's actually a part of their universe.
Oh, maybe that's how they fold him in.
If they get like a 6-second cameo of him in there, then I'll watch all four or five episodes just for that. Oh man.
That's awesome. Rick and Morty will be coming back with season 4 in November of 2019.
It also needs to be mentioned that apparently Kanye West is going to help write... I think it's write one of the episodes. The creators of Rick and Morty have asked Kanye West to help them write... Kanye West to help them write an episode of the show, and I'm like, that...
It has to just be one. There's no way they're going to co-write a whole season together.
I don't think anybody could handle him for that long of a writing
process. They go to the Kanye-verse.
Yeah.
The Kanye.
Oh my god. There's got to be a freaking Rick that's a Kanye.
Oh my god.
Now I'm scared. Moving on.
Moving on. Oh, that would be Kardashian Morty.
Oh, God.
All right.
Move on very quickly.
excuse me. Trailers for It Chapter 2 and Maleficent Mistress of Evil, so two sequels. I had no idea that this Maleficent movie was even in production, so the fact that there was a trailer...
I've been watching it for a while now, because they mentioned they were going to make a Maleficent 2, and I just said, why?
Yeah.
Kept saying why, and then they cast Michelle Pfeiffer in it, and I was like, well, I'm still saying why, but I'm good, you have my money now.
Yeah. The trailer was good. Yeah. I like the general aesthetic for
my curiosity is they're trying to make a whole Maleficent universe, to be honest with you. Angelina Jolie was amazing, so
the MCU.
Yeah. The new MCU.
The Maleficent cinematic universe.
Yes. Not to be confused with the MCU.
Where they're both Disney properties.
Yeah, that would be confusing.
Yeah. But on the other side of that coin is It Chapter 2. That trailer's fucking creepy.
I'm uncomfortable with that trailer.
Creepy. What a great cast in that film.
Like, I really, honestly, I wish that people, there are certain people in my life who won't watch trailers, and I'm like, you just watch one. That is my rule of thumb. You only watch one, because I feel like when they give us three, you start spoiling things, and I don't care. So I'm like, just watch one. No, I won't watch any. Well, then, whatever.
Yeah.
Be sad about it. I don't care.
All right, but what do you think of the Chapter 2 trailer?
You know, I've not seen any of the movies. I've not read any of the books. It looks creepy. I probably should watch
the first
one.
Shit.
So I have more of a... I should watch the new one just because everyone says it's good.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Stranger Things with a better villain.
Well, the hard time that I have with horror movies anymore is I feel like the majority of them are just gore, and I'm like, I don't want to watch someone get their arm chopped off. I'm really okay, thanks.
Well, there's some gore in it, but the movie is definitely more about psychological scares.
Yeah,
that might be a little harder for me.
It's hard. It's a really well done film.
I'm not saying that's terrible by any means. All I've heard is good things about it. It's just I don't like clowns for starters, and now you're adding scary children. if I wanted to see scary children, I would just go home to my cats.
Nice. All right. Yeah. Yeah. And so see, I'm there with you. I can't do too much gore and stuff, but psychological horror, I'm like there all day long.
Yeah.
People are like, I can't binge watch Black Mirror, and I'm there like four seasons at a time.
That's kind of the hard part that I've had with it, is it seems like the right scary movie to scar me for a month.
Yeah, that would do it.
All right, moving on. James Wan loves comic book properties, apparently, because he is going to produce Magic Order for Netflix. This is part of the Miller World Productions. He's also going to direct episode one. Magic Order, for those who are not familiar with it, it is a Mark Miller story about wizards after one of the main house leads is killed. It's very Watchmen meets Harry Potter in the wizarding world. It is really good and really adult, and I cannot wait to see this adapted. Also,
how adult is adult? Are we talking mature to the point where they're maturity crosses the line when they say is the F word and there's
sex,
a lot
drugs,
of sex.
Violence and lots of magic wands and
that sounds like an innuendo.
Yeah, it was magic.
Okay, just
that was
the
single entendre is what I call that.
Think Game of Thrones, but with more Harry Potter magic and less Lord of the Rings.
The magic is
slowly slide that out of my realm.
it's a wonderful series.
Anyways, continuing.
And also, James Wan is going to produce a new Mortal Kombat film.
That's what Kat's talking about.
Mortal Kombat!
Oh, gosh.
I mean, I guess that's all we have to say about that one, right?
Yeah, because we don't really know anything other than that.
It's going to be filming in Australia, which I'm still sticking with my joke. I know there's other movies that are filmed there, but I'm just saying, you're filming a movie about literally where it's killing people and everything there wants to kill you. I'm just saying, it's already got the mood set into
They don't need to use any creatures from Outworld. They just let the creatures in the Australian desert go.
Yeah,
free.
They just pan over to something in the desert because kangaroos can kill you. So there's that.
But what about cute little cuddly koala bears?
I'm pretty sure they could probably rip your eye out they probably have deadly.
I have heard something like that. No,
I've heard they're pretty nasty too.
Yeah,
but then again, when everything's trying to kill you around you, you gotta be something on the top.
All right. Oh, creepy. I'm hungry now.
Yeah.
Thinking about eating stuff.
Australia. Kangaroo.
Kangaroo sounds amazing, honestly, right now.
Next!
In completely unrelated news, Ghost Spider is going to be relaunching with a new number one, same creative team, but it's going to be in the 616 universe, so the main Marvel universe.
So, good. I wish they just started that way because they put her back in her own universe, and I was hoping that when they did this, she was going to end up being stuck in the other one because in her universe, everyone knows who she is, and it makes it super boring.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, that would
so
be cool.
Good news, but salty because I have to redo my comic orders.
Yeah. I guess they really want to get Marvel Rising to
be a real thing,
to be more of a thing instead of just one-offs every now and then.
All
right,
next.
All right, we're going to be in the realm of Batman now for a little while. Batman versus Ra's al Ghul is going to be coming this fall from Neil Adams, the co-creator of Ra's al Ghul. I don't know. I like the character. I like Neil Adams. I've not been a fan of Neil Adams' more recent work. So
Name something.
Detective Comics 1000. He was the one who did the story with the League of Assassins. He did Batman Odyssey, Superman. Oh God, Reign of the Superman.
I don't think I read that one.
So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm excited because it's Ra's al Ghul. Yeah.
Well, the big thing is I know right now the whole spiel that's going on at DC is Year of the Villain, so I'm not surprised that they're going to bring back one of the older villains from the...
I mean, he was a 70s villain, so...
I figure they're going to try and bring back as many villains as they can.
Yeah. This is going to be an out-of-continuity miniseries. I'm sure it's continuing his
story. Are you
sure?
Because I've read that it's... It's a 60-issue series tying into DC's Year of the Villain event, so I don't know what they're up to. I'm confused.
Yeah, I would
spend most of my
because he's writing it too, right?
Yes.
It's written by
he's writing and drawing. I've seen the cover; it's interesting looking.
Okay.
sound more failed. Moving on.
We have the Batwoman trailer for CW. Kat, you wanna lead us on your initial impressions?
Does my silence help? Because it's about to get rough in here.
Okay. No, don't be silent. Let it out there.
No, is my answer. I'm terrified to show this to somebody else because I'm gonna hear about it for 2 days and how angry they are. For me, and I would love to explain this because I know that I get harsh with things, I honestly don't care that they're making it. It is what it is. I don't have to watch it. I have comic books. It's fine. I wish they would do new ones, but that's a different story. But their creative take on Batwoman, I don't care for. Simple as that. Because I think they took out some pretty important aspects of it, and they messed with it in the beginning when they had Maggie Sawyer be... from Supergirl, I can't think of her name now, Alex's girlfriend, because she was originally Batwoman's love interest. And so now they're doing it where it's her love interest from Don't Ask, when she got kicked out of the army for Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And I'm just like, I'm glad to get the military part in it. And the other part is she talks a lot of crap about Batman in the comics, and that's neat, and she does it in the show, but the real thing is the other half of that is she was doing awful, and he saves her, and it inspires her to be better than him. So that's the hard part that I'm having, and I understand that there's certain, because of certain properties, they can't do those things, but at the same time, it seems like a focal point.
I don't think that we can judge based on a trailer that she wasn't inspired by Batman. Like, I think that the trailer has her taking the suit and, you know, making it hers, but Bruce has been missing for X amount of time.
I mean, I knew that. The other half of it is her training is actually from her dad in the military as well, and I don't think that's how
it I got goes. That from the trailer that's where they were saying that her training was from, because she had a clear relationship with her dad in that way.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Also, for Alice, she's not creepy enough. Does that sound weird?
I mean, it is a CW show. It's like, how far... If this was on DC Universe...
See, you say that, though, but I watched Riverdale this season, and they can do creepy. Okay. So, I don't know. It's not... I feel like they hit that playful edge, and they didn't quite get to the creepy part. So, and for me, it's just the certain things that were said. Will I watch the first episode? Yeah, because my rule of thumb is I can't bitch about something unless I've seen it.
I liked the trailer. I thought it looked really interesting. I thought that I believed her in the trailer. I believed that she was smart. I believed that... I liked that it was Duke.
The other part of it is I don't think they showed her with any firearms. And when she first started out, she was shooting, and Batman said no. And I was hoping that maybe, since he's not there, I'm wondering if maybe, hopefully maybe it'll be Arrow or somebody will say we're better than them. I don't know what it is.
Maybe it's Fox that does it, because it's Lucius Fox's son.
Yeah.
So, what did you think?
I thought it looked interesting. I mean, like, I don't know. I it's CW, so I'm a little bit, like, hot cold on it. You know, like,
I've been watching Flash. I still enjoy Flash.
Yeah, I love Black Lightning, but that seems to be because it's like outside of the rest of CW's universe. So bringing Batwoman into that fold, it kind of makes me think they might go like. Hopefully, it's good. I'm really hoping that it's good.
And they established,
but I don't want them to do a villain of the week kind of thing. That's for me is where CW shows.
She's not. They're not doing a villain of the week. It looks like the first round villain they're doing is her first villain that she faces often in the comics.
But that could be like resolved in a single episode, though. Like, everything that we see could be from episode one.
Yeah. If they do, it does look like they're going for the Alice in Wonderland gang type of storyline, which would be cool. That to me is like where CW gets off track, is when they start to like hop from villain to villain. Like, you don't get that development because you're too busy introducing all these new characters all the time. I guess
I've been doing a villain to villain. I don't remember when they did that. I know Supergirl started doing that, and it was driving me insane, but there's other things that were driving me insane.
Flash did it.
Flash was like in season one it started doing that. They haven't really Flash does that. Then Arrow started doing that, like, season 4-ish.
Ugh.
Or something like that. And that's where it dramatically declined.
I mean, yes, they didn't
halfway
do
through
it,
season 3.
Halfway through, yeah.
I guess they did introduce a couple other villains, but...
Yeah, Flash did the villain of the week thing, and it worked for season 1. Actually, Flash's missteps for me were when they tried to do the overarching stories. There was just way too many episodes.
With, like, Reverse Flash and that kind of stuff. Too many Reverse Flash episodes.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is he's back again, but they had to bring him back for Crisis of Infinite Earths.
Have to bring him back because the actor that they cast is wonderful, and they need more opportunities to put
him in. Well, yeah, he's always in every season. It's great. Yeah. He's just playing somebody else.
A different version of himself.
So they had to bring him back because they need him for Crisis on Infinite Earths. So I had a feeling that was going to happen.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So I guess we're pretty mixed on this. I really want to see it. I want to see what the show is.
Yeah. Yeah, if they go, because to me, just from the trailer, it kind of looked like they were going, like, Arrow season 1.
Which is great.
They were going for, because that's objectively the best Arrow season.
Ah, 2. 2 was the best
Arrow. Okay.
Arrow's leaving, so supposedly DC Legends is picking that up, so she's probably going to start, that show's going to start around the same time as everything else. I think.
Is it supposed to be a fall launch, or is it supposed to be next year?
I'm pretty sure it's a fall launch.
Oh, that's good. So she'll be in, like, then we'll have episodes in the can before we get to the Infinite Crisis.
I am fairly positive on that one. I could be wrong, but I think that's what they're up to.
Oh, are they gonna... Sorry, just to get the timeline straight, when is this show supposed to actually come out?
We think it's the fall.
I believe it's the fall.
So it is the fall, and then the Crisis on Infinite Earths.
December.
It's December.
Which means I'm losing my superhero Christmas ones. I think I'll be okay, maybe.
Yeah. So that'd be like a mid-season
like
thing for the Batwoman show if they crossed it into that.
I don't
this
think
be really,
it's
this
gonna
is
going to
be an interesting fall or in fall and winter for cinema or TV because the Disney Plus thing will launch November 12th. Disney Plushies will launch November 12th.
Yay.
I don't think... DC Legends is supposed to start up when Arrow ends, so I'm pretty sure Batwoman starts when everything else is going to start in the fall.
Okay. And it's in a different universe.
Yeah, but she shares... Who did she share? Didn't she share with some... That's why I think with Crisis of Infinite Earths, they're about to fold everything.
Yeah, that's probably what they do, put it all together.
Anyways.
Okay, yeah, we talked a long time about that. We have another trailer to discuss, the Batman Hush animated trailer.
We need to talk about the voices, because I almost pooed myself when I found out who Catwoman's voice was, because I love her.
She's wonderful. What's her...
Jennifer Morrison from Once Upon a Time and House is going to play as Catwoman. I know her from Once Upon
a
Time.
And How I Met Your Mother.
I never watched that show.
Okay.
Anyways, I'm not saying it's bad, I just never watched it. For me, it was weird because I didn't realize who it was when she was talking, so I don't think she's been any other voice acting either, so I'm really curious to see how she does.
Has Catwoman ever been in, like, the DC, the animated verse, the one that started with Justice League War?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't think she's been in any DC animated movie.
Huh. Yeah, I'm excited.
I can't think of anything.
Yeah. She's been in the animated series and all of the different Batman series that they've had, but...
Is she ever even in Justice League? Like, the Justice League?
Yeah.
Which ones?
Those 3 seasons. There's a lot of episodes there.
Yeah, we'll talk about it later. Anyway.
I was not high on them doing this because I love Hush and...
It's really good. Good luck living up to it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm really happy with this trailer. And one of the things I was really happy about was they got rid of the ridiculous utility belt that he has. I know that's stupid, but it looks like he starts with the current New 52 costume that they've been using for a number of years for the animated stuff, and they actually
are
going back.
Keep using it!
No. I want them to do the rebirth suit, but I'm never going to see that. They're never going to put the rebirth suit in animated. But after it looks like after the injury... He gets the classic utility belt and the look from Hush, which I'm cool with because the way that these movies were initially pitched were to be adaptations of the
So it's going
to
blend the into books. The universe that they're doing. Right?
Yeah, they're blending the two things together, which is cool. I'm glad about that. That looks
I'll be
really
interested to see that.
Yeah, I think Hush is maybe a little too laughy for me, but I'm going to judge it based on the movie
he talks
itself.
A lot.
Yeah,
and Hush, I'm a little concerned about that because he didn't talk.
No. Oh, I hope they do the Jason Todd Clayface moment, for those of you who haven't read it.
Well, they have to.
They have to do it.
I have no idea about the story, so all
it's
of this
amazing.
Is
going to be... It's really great.
I only know the twist ending spoiler.
It's just the full breakdown. And seeing the Superman fight, I really hope they get to do the Kryptonite ring. What I'm concerned about is not having the inner monologue, because there's a lot in that story about what Batman says in his head.
I wonder if they're going to piece that in somehow, because doesn't Catwoman inner monologue too?
Yeah, there's a lot of inner monologue. When he's talking about when he punches Superman, he says that, you know, he feels the bones in his fingers breaking.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a moment where he like highlights Dick Grayson, and it's like Grayson has always meant to be in the center ring, just talking about how athletic and acrobatic he is as a fighter in DC, you know, like as just being, he's the epitomized version of the vigilante hero.
Yeah, he's talking about all of them. All of the Robins. All right.
Yeah, I'm excited for this one. So, yeah. But, all right. Well, the end of our Batman discussion here will be the potential 95% Variety reported it as fact, Collider reported it as fact, casting of Batman in the Worlds of DC, the Batman film, directed by Matt Reeves. It looks like Robert Pattinson is going to be our new Batman.
Yeah.
Silence, because I'm waiting for somebody to say their first response.
I know that we shouldn't judge others on the first things that started their career, but the thing is, and I know it's going to happen, and I'm surprised I haven't seen memes yet, if they don't think in the back of their minds that this is not going to come back to haunt them somehow if that movie is bad with this casting, that it's going to come back to Twilight, and I don't want to talk about it because those movies were so bad and everything was just so bad.
You know what predates Twilight?
It's interesting. I was just going to say this.
Is Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
Yep. So Twilight is not the movie franchise that launched his career.
Yeah, actually, Harry Potter.
See, yeah, I mean, people say that, but he wasn't really in that movie.
Cedric Diggory?
Cedric Diggory is the main character of that movie.
Yeah, he was one of the most important characters in that film.
He has more screen time than Ron or Hermione in that movie.
He's like the audience favorite. Everybody talks about Cedric in that film.
I have no idea what people
talk
about.
Cedric Diggory in the Goblet of Fire. That's not a Harry Potter movie.
Doesn't Cedric technically win the contest?
Yes, in the books he wins the contest, but
he's killed.
He defaults it to Harry or something like that.
It's been a very long time.
Yeah, he gets killed
at first, and then Voldemort kills him right away,
right in front of Harry.
When they grab the goblet, it transports them
to the graveyard scene.
Yes. So, and he kills him right there.
Man, I haven't watched Goblet of Fire.
I haven't watched that movie after that damn freaking scene too. I had like nightmares. Anyways,
we digress. I am 100% in for this casting. I think that he is an underrated actor because of the Twilight franchise. People discount his ability to act, but for me as a Batman fan, it is in the eyes. This dude looks like he's 1 second away from grabbing a pipe and killing someone. And that, I think, is the energy and the darkness you need in those eyes. Like, when a villain looks at Batman, they have to be concerned that this guy is literally going to snap my arms if I don't give him the information he needs. And I think that Pattinson's got that look. He's kind of ugly. He looks like he got punched in the face too many times. Once again, this is Batman we're talking about. A guy who dresses up in a, you know, a Kevlar armor and literally beats people to within an inch of their lives on the streets.
Yeah. And he does have that edge, and I think, you know, going off of his Twilight thing, he also has like the pretty boy like persona to do Bruce Wayne.
Oh,
as
God.
Well. Yeah.
I understand I'm gay, but at the same time I can also see, I know when there's a good looking dude. I hated him in Twilight. I've always thought he was fuckery. Sorry. I
agree too. Not gay, but I still he's not the best looking guy, but I still think he could pull off Bruce Wayne very well.
See, and for my thing, as dumb as it sounds, like, I've always, for me, when they cast him as Edward, I was a teenage girl once, I'm allowed to have my things. When they cast him as Edward, I was upset about it because I didn't think he was good looking.
Oh.
And I know that everybody has their own versions of good looking, but when I think of Bruce Wayne, at least his... I know that Bruce Wayne Endgame is really the character, but every time I think of Bruce Wayne, it's always... the most attractive thing I can think of, and it's like, well, I think gay women would probably go have sex with you. And that's, and for him, when I look at him, I'm like, I don't want to come near you.
I don't know. I think, for me, he's got that look of... He's more intriguing than he is traditionally, like, attractive. It's like, he's handsome. He's got this, like, a swagger about him that lets you be like, what does this guy have? Like, what is inside him? Also, not for nothing, his performance in the Twilight movies isn't what drags the films down. It's terrible writing. Like, it's not what he's doing in the movie.
I can actually tell you why it was dragged down, but we don't need to go there.
Yeah. Well, vampires shouldn't sparkle to begin with.
Okay, I love those books, still do. Teenage Girl, it's fine. those books were great. Moving on.
Poorly written films. Although I do like the X-Men moment in like one of the later movies, but they just use their superpowers.
I
think with this discussion, we also need to go with the supposed other actor who is up for the role or in final negotiations, Nicholas Holt.
Well, he honestly just reminds me of the dude who plays Barry Allen in The Flash.
I honestly,
when I look at him.
he's the other side of the coin. He's too pretty. Like, he looks like there's nothing threatening about Nicholas Holt to me. I look at that guy and go, oh, okay, yeah, you should be Superman. Like, you seem more... You're gentle. You've got the ice blue eyes. You look like you're... If you bulked up...
Doesn't he have ice blue eyes? Doesn't Batman have those cold...
He has blue eyes, but the blue eye thing is always mentioned with Superman. That's why the glasses make sense, is his eyes are so... They're so blue, they're almost ethereal. They seem like they're from another world. So the glasses help dull that so that you don't pay attention to it.
I don't know. Either way, I look at that dude and I'm like, you look like the guy who plays Barry Allen on The Flash. You should be The Flash. That's all I see when I look at that dude. I'm like, you look nerdy enough to be a Barry Allen.
I just, to me, he seems nothing against the actor. I just think he feels too soft to be Batman. Like, I don't think he can bring the edge that the character
obviously
needs.
I feel the same way because I'm like, you look like Barry Allen.
Your opinion on Nicholas Holt being the potential one?
You know, I don't really actually have an opinion on him at all.
How are you? Are
in
you
general?
Are you hot or cold on the Robert Pattinson thing?
I think I'm in agreement with you. I don't really know, other than Cedric Diggory and Edward Cullen. I'm not really too familiar with his acting chops.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Twilight is just a bad movie.
Yeah,
a poorly made movie. But that's not his fault at all.
Right.
You know, there's only so much you can do with a bad script and lazy directors.
Yeah.
But, you know, sorry, directors, don't, you know, nothing against you personally. You're trying to make a Twilight Hollywood movie.
Right, which did fantastic. The movie franchise did incredibly well.
It did what it needed to do.
I mean, I hate to be that person, but 50 Shades of Grey is a movie. It's kind of the audience. You don't have to do a whole lot for Twilight, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, and you know, and there's an audience for that. They cater to that audience. I am not that audience because I'm not a middle school girl or a soccer mom.
But let's also talk right now on the business side of things. We just brought up that audience. If this is true and Pattinson is cast, that audience that made the Twilight movies buku bucks might be butts in seats day one to go see this new Batman film.
I would be curious how many of that carries over. I'd be really curious, to be honest with you, because they're all going to be about my age.
Yeah.
Like I said, for me, I never thought I was good looking ever.
I'm
and I get it. Yes, I'm also gay, but I know when someone's good looking, and I've never thought he was good looking. My mom is the same way.
He's got the square chin. I think the chin's gonna look good in the cowl. I do want him to bulk up. I will say that, and that's something that I just, especially after Affleck and Bale, like, bulk him up a little. And I'm sure he can do it. I'm sure that, you know, given enough time, because this is supposed to start shooting either this fall or early 2020. So
honestly, if you give him early 2020, you'd have more time. I've seen that dude with his shirt off. I mean, it might have been years ago, but I look at him now and I'm like, you're this big.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm holding up my pinky. That's not Batman. That's the nerd that gets beat
then
up.
Again, we what did we say about oh my god, Zach Levi when he was cast as Shazam, and then you see the movie, it's like, oh, they did it, it's fine, it works perfect. So
yeah.
We were going to have another little section, but we are tight on time, and I just do not think that we'll be able to get through all of us other than just a quick pitch. So I think we're just going to end early today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sounds cool. Me.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
yeah, Lord knows we can't do a quick anything. Yeah, on this podcast. Exactly.
And I kind of felt like that was going to be the case today. Well,
there was the news annihilation, so I guess that's also the other half of it is, too, is it might be good that comic-wise it's been a little boring, so...
Yeah. There
you
go.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. So cool. We'll catch you on the flip side.
Pretty much.
All right. Well, bye.
Bye.